Hello!
Welcome to Movie Banter.
I'm Paul Carenza.
I'm John Sands. Paul seemed quite aggressive. You're ready to go.
Red Bull! you're fiery wings!
You're drinking water.
Well, yeah. I've had Red Bull before.
Fair enough.
Really yeah. slow. Really slow.
I drank a can a week ago. Just
6 months ago. Yeah.
Fiery wings, I think, would not be found on the latest Lillette's adverts.
No need.
Oh, sorry, just occurred to me.
They would be found on M. Night Shyamalan's Devil's
Night. Well, that is very true.
So, no Jenny Masters this week.
No.
She's gone off on a quest.
that's not even a Monty Python reference. That's a Masters
and
Herons quest.
That's right, yes.
You've been listening to that.
I have been. That's a Radio 4 improv comedy show from the early 90s.
Yes. Hey, kids.
You can get it somewhere.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be online. It's on. Yeah. But it's very funny.
You wish to. Very funny. So, this week, a special.
A special.
Oh. Ooh.
Yeah, this is. I don't know what prompt. I think it was just an idea for a special you had a while ago.
Yeah, what?
And we thought we'd go with this, which is essentially our worst / most hated films ever.
We're going to have a rant. There's going to be a lot of rants.
Yeah, it's moaning about the films that irritated us and why.
Indeed.
And Forger, you have sent us a few of yours as well.
Yeah, thank you.
Courtesy of Facebook, which Paul prompted in just last night and was. bombarded with suggestions.
It turns out you can't wait to tell us just what films you absolutely loathe.
But having listened to this, if you want to send us in some more, then please do podcast@moviebanter.co.uk.
Or we're on Twitter as well, which is @moviebanter.
Yes. So you can do it that way and let us know your own rants.
Yeah.
But beyond that,
I think we're going to reference probably about 30 awful films in the next half hour or so. So it's about one a minute.
We'll crack through, really. Yeah, it may be a little bit longer than that, but we'll just sort of trot on, really.
Okay, well, set the ball rolling.
Well, I'll kick straight off with the one, because some of these I will have mentioned over the pod. If you've listened to them all, I may have mentioned one or two. But lead off with Batman and Robin, just because. And weirdly, I remember not, because I saw it, when we were doing a play at school, a few of us, maybe even you and me and others, went to go and see it in the cinema. I remember coming out of it, not thinking it was terrible, but thinking it wasn't good. But over time, it's become one of my most hated films. Mm. Just because...
It's grown into
I think
that.
Since then I've learned
it's
more
blossomed.
About Batman, and I appreciated the other films more. And just in comparison, especially since what has come since, and the original Burton Batmans, it's just an awful, horrible... it makes no sense.
It's true that you can't realise just how bad it is until you see The Dark Knight, I think.
Yes.
You compare it to the Batman and Batman Returns, and even Batman Forever.
Yeah.
And it's pretty bad.
Batman Forever is definitely a bridge between... Because Batman and Batman Returns, I think you can sort of lump together both pretty much the same level of awesomeness. Batman Forever is hated by a lot of people, but I really don't mind it. You can see the seeds, though, of the multicolour terribleness that's coming.
Yeah.
But it's got a few things going for it, but it's not great. Mm. But Batman and Robin, it's just... Arnie is...
There's a freeze coming.
Yeah, it's just the puns. And George Clooney phoning it in. Nipples on the Batsuit. It's just terrible. And it's a return to camp 60s Batman, which I know a lot of people like.
Oh, yeah, that has a place in my heart.
But at least camp 60s Batman was sort of self-aware.
And it went for it.
Yes.
It had Adam West,
and also
which
it started
marvelous.
Off as that. It didn't just become... It wasn't a slow decline into...
Much as I do like 60s Batman, I would not be happy if they said, guess what, we're going to remake 60s Batman in that style today. It belongs in the 60s.
Yeah.
It belongs in Austin Powers era.
Yes.
That's what it needs to be.
Yeah, so Batman, it just makes me angry whenever I think of it.
No, exactly.
So don't watch it.
Fair
but
point.
Spare yourself. And yeah, I own the DVD
because
I needed to for finding mistakes in it for the Big Breakfast. But that was quite therapeutic in a way, finding mistakes in it, of
you
which there are thousands.
Have a great bit of therapy just burning that DVD.
Well, it's
a little bonfire,
just jumping up and down on its grave. But anyway, so that's mine.
Okay, good. We'll give a stop
Mr. K.
I've got Showgirls down as my first.
See, I think that's a bit harsh.
Do you
personally.
Think? Really?
A little bit, because it's sort of knowingly kitschy.
Does it know just how bad it is, really?
Well,
I think Paul Verhoeven was setting out to make a better film than it was.
Okay, that is probably true. I think also I'm loathe to dislike a film with that much nudity in it.
Well,
nudity goes a long way to making me forgive a film.
Well, true, but there are films with nudity in it that embrace the nudity, so to speak, and, are basically... porn films. That's what we call them, I think.
And
they are bad films. No one would really
sort
of go,
well,
if you've never seen Young Birds 5, it's a marvellous, marvellous masterpiece of cinema. It is pretty bad. But Showgirls, I think, does It's got all that, and yet it's still awful.
Yes.
Because the characters are awful, the writing is awful, the acting is all over the place. And
no, that's true. And there's the dolphin sex.
Exactly, the scenes stay with you, things like that. It stays with you.
Yeah, that's true.
That haunts you.
I think that's probably a good criteria for a really awful film. Because if it's an awful but forgettable film,
yeah,
I think you'll forgive it more. But it's a film which burns into your consciousness and you can't ever get rid of.
An awful, forgettable film is the sort of thing you'd go, oh, it's got, I'd give it 2 or 3 out of 10, even 4 out of 10.
Yeah.
But we're talking about the 1 out of 10. If IMDb had a 0 out of 10,
yes,
I'd rate it that. But I don't think they do. I think 1 out of 10 is the lowest you can do.
The trouble is, when it comes to ratings, or lots on the IMDb, so many films seem to have. There's all. If you look at the scale of rating, there's always loads of films get 1 out of 10, and loads of films get 10 out of 10.
Mm.
And generally speaking, both of those extremes are normally wrong. But
yeah.
Some films warrant a 1 out of 10.
Yeah.
I think. And looking down my and your voting record, not many have got 1.
No, I hold back the ones.
Yeah,
I think.
But on occasion they're genuinely worth it.
Yeah.
One that we both have as a 1 out of 10 is Crash.
Oh yes.
Not the Sandra Bullock LA racism one, which is a worthy film, if not necessary to all taste. This is David Cronenberg with James Spader. And I like James Spader, but this is people who have car crashes and have sex in the wrecks. Sex on the rocks with sex on the rocks. And again, I haven't seen it in years because I have no desire to see it again. But I have seen it once, and once was more than enough.
Plenty.
And again, it's no prudishness because I don't think there is a good film to write about this, but there's lots of good films that can be about risque subjects.
Mm.
But this, it's just handled terribly, and it thinks it's far cleverer than it is. And it thinks, oh, it's far more worth making point. No, you're not. It's just a dire film.
Empire at the time rated it 5 out of 5.
Yeah, I've never forgiven Empire.
Never forgiven for that.
I've always, not in a sort of like, cancel my subscription, but it made me realise that my and their reviewing standards are entirely different.
But then, I think about a couple of years after that, it was either released on DVD or they had a reason for mentioning it with its star rating. And it changed to 3 out of 5. And they had, in the review, they even referenced the fact that a lot of you weren't happy and gave it 5 out of 5.
Yeah.
So we've re-reviewed it. Someone else has looked at it and gone, actually, yeah. At the time, maybe, we thought it was a bold attempt to do whatever it was trying to do. But now, looking at it again, we go, actually, it falls short.
Yeah.
But they couldn't bring themselves to give it the 1 out of 5 it deserved because they couldn't go from 5 to 1. Because then you go, well, what does your reviewing system mean?
It may well be a bold attempt to make something interesting, but if you fail at it, then that doesn't deserve rewarding.
It's just awful. Recently, I was trying to find films to... a film education for my wife.
And
I suggested the film Crash. It's the Sandra Bullock Oscar-winning drama. And she's been put off it for weeks. She said, I don't want to watch it. I don't want to watch it. And I've now discovered that was because she thought it was the other Crash.
Ah, I see. I found recently, because on my website somewhere, I'd written about films I hated or mentioned it and just said something like, I hate Crash. And this was written years ago, so when there was only one Crash. And I got an email from someone saying, why do you hate Crash? Well, Sandra Bullock's quite good in it. Well, it got Oscar nominations. And I went, oh, no, other Crash. I had to go back and edit it just to say, by the way, I mean this Crash.
Other Crash.
Yeah, I was surprised the newer Crash, that they called it Crash, because it's just, it has too many awful memories.
Crash 2. Oh, dear, not good.
No.
Shall we do one of our... We had some very nice tweets and Facebook comments and things like that. And we'll do a couple of those, I think, scattered throughout. So let's begin with Eric Scarborough, who picks as his worst film of all time. He says, since the exciting Frank Miller storyline can't go wrong cast, eagerly awaited height of the comic boom Daredevil sent an ageing comic book fan to sleep, it must be regarded as cinematic suicide of epic proportions.
See, again, I think that's a bit harsh, because I actually quite like Daredevil. Yeah, I'm sorry to say.
Oh, dear.
I think Ben Affleck wasn't quite the right choice, but does. But again, I think the cast is a good point, because I think they do the best they could. But having seen the director's cut, it's actually a better film.
Oh,
which
really?
I'm not saying is a radically improved film, or radically different film, but it adds a bit more, and there's more of a subplot. It's not just him fighting crime. There's a whole legal case that is tenuously connected to other stuff. So things make a bit more sense. Things like there's a scene on the rooftop between Ben Affleck and Jennifer Garner when they're about to kiss each other, and then he hears, or I think they have kissed each other, and he hears like a scream and thinks, oh, I should go and fight crime. And she says, no, stay with me.
Yeah.
And he stays with her. Yeah. In the director's cut, he doesn't. He says, no, I've got to go. And he goes, so that, it just, things like that, they just tweaked it.
Okay.
So it's a bit less irritating.
It's still, I guess he says, height of comic book boom type thing. And it was, I think, again, it suffered the Batman-Robin thing of being a bit too glossy.
Yes.
And the comic book things, like the things that have happened since the post-Dark Knight era, I suppose, have kind of darkened it a bit and shown that you don't have to be all kind of glossy and Hollywood and blockbustery to make it a good film. And I think I probably fell foul of that.
But I think also, because we didn't... While there's a degree of origins involved, we don't see enough, which I think, again, is something that the director's cut fixes to a degree. We don't see enough of his sort of private life, his life is just him. Whereas in Batman, or in Dark Knight, we know Bruce Wayne's sort of story, and we find out lots of that stuff. In Daredevil, it's largely just him, I'm a blind lawyer, let's go and fight crime, and that's it. Yeah. So you need a bit more exposition and plot in order to make you care more, rather than just making it an action.
Wasn't Elektra, the character from Daredevil?
Yes.
And which was not good either, was it, I believe? Because...
Hang on, do you mean the film?
The film Elektra.
Oh, the film. Oh, that's terrible.
Well, in which case, so Eric Scarborough saying that Daredevil was his worst film, but shouldn't Elektra top that, do you not?
Yeah, I think Elektra should be worse.
don't go there.
No, I'll stop. I think Elektra is worse than Daredevil, certainly. And if you're in that sort of... If you're looking at those sort of standards, just because it's a spin-off from a mediocre film at best.
Yeah.
And Jennifer Garner can't quite pull it off. And also, especially because in the film, part of what makes Daredevil work is that she gets bumped off.
Mm.
But then she comes back, as she does in the comics. She's sort of famously dead and alive again. But yeah, the Elektra film doesn't work either. No. So I say that's worse than Daredevil. If you haven't, so Eric, if you want to shift your standards a bit, then go and watch Elektra, which will be terrible.
Right.
But it's a bit hard to recommend something that you may.
Yeah, and then by contrast, Daredevil, wow, not quite genius.
Well, exactly. It's slightly not quite so bad. Terrible.
Yeah. My next one, then, I've got... now, this is a list, actually, I've done a while ago, because this is the films I voted 1 out of 10 on IMDb. I've put about 30 on there, but I've picked out just 9 here. This one, Problem Child 2, I'm delighted. I haven't seen it recently enough to know exactly why I hated it, and I have no plans of revisiting it just for the purpose of this podcast. All I can tell you is I do remember thoroughly hating it, and I remember... the first film was annoying because it's about an annoying child, and they've picked the most annoying child. Well done for the casting.
Yeah.
Very good.
But why would you ever want to make a film about a really annoying child?
Exactly. It's just annoying.
Because especially, I mean, how old a child are we talking?
It must be, I think probably the first film is 8 or 9, the second one is 10 or 11. I imagine.
No, and does it end with any sort of... I mean, in Problem Child 2, is it the same child?
I think Problem Child 2 is. I think Problem Child 3, they got a new one.
Right.
I think.
So it's not even like the end of Problem Child. He sort of learns a lesson, and no, you should be nice to people, and you get some sort of resolution. He's just an irritating child.
I can't remember, to be honest. I've just wiped my brain. But I think first one, I would say, it could not be as bad as the second one, because it at least tried to do something.
Yeah.
It was original in some small way. But then the second one was just, they thought, again, with all these sequels, they think, well, what worked the first time? Let's up the ante. Let's make him more annoying. awful film.
That's why, see, in fact, lots of the films we've got, not a lot, but quite a few, are sequels. And it seems to be sequels which suffer from, I mean, a sequel to a terrible film is always going to be worse.
Yeah.
I can't think of a single example of a sequel. I mean, there are few enough sequels that are better than the originals anyway. Let alone sequels to awful films, which are better than the original. I think because if you've got an awful film, you're out of ideas already.
The trouble is that, you know, something like Problem Child clearly worked enough in the box office for them to think, well, people saw it, let's do another
one. Well, it's the harsh reality of
filmmaking.
It
doesn't have to be a good film.
It is a business.
To go and see it.
Sort of, you stick the numbers in the spreadsheet, if you can make it for X and people will spend Y to go and see it, then...
But the stupid thing is, of course, people will go and see a film... and you know, just because it's hyped well, or it's a nice idea, or it's a good cast, and then they may hate it. A lot of people may have seen Problem Child and then walked out hating it, and therefore Problem Child 2, they make it, and actually no one sees it because they thought, well, no, we saw the first one. A lot of us saw it. Millions of us saw it, and we couldn't stand it.
So, well, it's like the Matrix sequels, I think, because I think the Matrix Revolutions. I mean, they got their flaws, but I quite like both the sequels. But the takings from I think the third one are far lower than the second one. Because a lot of people went to the second one and thought, won't bother seeing the third one.
Yes.
Yeah, so it is a problem.
Yeah, it is rather. You've got RoboCop 3.
Speaking
of the sequels.
Again, this fits the sequels thing. And the RoboCop films, there's a definite downward trend.
Yeah.
And the second one is fine, but it's not. The first one is properly satirical.
Yeah.
And very well made, and action and everything. The second one is basically just action, without really the satire. The third one is just nothing. It's a different RoboCop. It's a different... Is it a different cast? Mostly different cast. His female partner gets killed off, this is a spoiler, but don't go and see the film at all. You've got it. It's the problem. It was made. It was 15 rather than 18. It was largely made to make it. I think to sell toys. Really, right. Robocop gets a jetpack for no good reason.
Was it an 18 rated film?
No. This was 15. Yeah.
Still toys though. Still yeah. McDonald's Happy Meals.
Yeah, exactly. And you got like two ninja robots thrown in for no good reason.
Ninja Robocop. Yeah. There you go.
You get Robocop, because you always had the OCP or the company trying to rebuild Detroit and throw out people, and this is more so in Robocop 3. He sides with the homeless people being thrown out of Detroit. Mm. But it just shifts the balance off,
yeah.
And it makes so he goes against the system. Oh, it's just dire. What's better, actually, there was a TV, or either a miniseries or four TV movies called something like Robocop Prime Directives, which is... I don't think it's a remake. I think it does continue after Robocop 2. I think it sort of ignores Robocop 3. And that was on noticeably lower budget, but more interesting stories. And so that's a far better sequel, or those four are a far better sequel than Robocop 3 ever was. So, yeah, don't watch Robocop 3 either. It's terrible.
Fair enough.
It makes me angry.
Fair enough. I think it's come up on the podcast before in previous weeks.
Yeah, it is one of my all-time hideousness.
Yeah. No, fair play. Well, speaking of, you mentioned the TV movies there. I'll move on to my next one, which is actually a TV movie, so it probably isn't eligible.
No, I think so. It's a movie.
I did see it was. It's a 90-minute film, and it seemed quite movie-like. Now, I think you've seen it as well.
Is this? I want to say it's like Danielle Panabaker, or
I have no idea,
or possibly the. Is this the film which made you decide to go to acting school?
No, I think that was. Terror at the Mall.
Right. Which sounds awesome.
Yeah, that was, again, that should be on the list. That was a pretty poor film.
It's either someone like Daniel Panabaker, or I can't remember her name now, whoever played Buffy's sister.
Maybe.
Fair enough.
Maybe.
But is it about a teenage girl doing ice skating?
Bingo!
Yes. I've either seen it or know of it.
I think we saw it in Spain.
Yes,
I think a bunch of us were watching.
We just couldn't not watch it.
And it was, even though we were on holiday, it was lovely weather outside, it's middle of the afternoon, and yet we happened to just see the first few minutes and think, God, this looks wonderfully awful. and I think...
It probably helps if you drink it with watch it while drinking sangria.
So the film is called Ice Angel, and the plot of it is, from memory, that it's about a high school girl who is on the ice hockey team. Is that right? Ice hockey?
I think she's ice.
Let's go with ice hockey. And she is... And then she dies. Quite early on in the film.
Oh, right.
And
I don't remember this.
But then the ghost of her comes back and fills the body.
Oh, yes.
Of. No, isn't it a guy? No, she's a guy at the start of the film.
Yes.
And then the guy dies, and he's an ice hockey player.
Yeah.
And then his spirit comes back and fills the body
of an ice dancer.
Of an ice dancer who's female.
Yes.
And so throughout the entire film, she is an ice dancer, but with the mind and the spirit of a butch male ice hockey player.
Yeah.
And so there's lots of jokes at the expense of like, hey, I'm a big gruff kind of guy kind of thing, but in the body of a lovely ice princess.
So a low budget body swap film.
And all I remember, really a very low budget body swap ice hockey. And it's just awful because it's kind of trying to play it very real and very emotive. But at the same time, they've got this kind of supernatural elements they keep on throwing in occasionally with magic pixie dust and the fact that you've inhabited someone's body. And I just remember the line from the film, you can only paint with the colours you've been given. I cannot remember none of the relevance of that.
The context or anything. Probably not someone painting.
Has a day at primary school and is telling the kids, look, kids, you can only paint with the colours you've been given. All right, now stop complaining. I think it's more likely to be something about the fact that, you know, oh, I can only be an ice skating dancer because that's the only talent I've been given.
Can't read, can't write, but I can ice dance.
Exactly. Similar to the director and the writers of the film, who clearly they can only paint, and yet they've tried to write and direct a film as well. Oh, it was awful, but laughably off. I didn't know, because that I think fulfills the so bad it's good category.
Yes.
I probably watched it again. It's
very laughably entertaining.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's not good.
But pretty awful. No. If you get a chance, look out. There's about 10 other very quotable lines in it, but it's about 10 years ago now, so I can't remember them, but well worth a look.
No. Going back to your emails, an email from Matt Shipton, who's actually an old school friend of
ours. Hey, Matt Shipton.
Who also, partly on a personal note, but also as just to get respect from the listeners, I found out via Facebook, he just donated a kidney to his mother.
Really?
Yeah. I saw that on Facebook. He just said, along the lines of, you know, I'm out of surgery, down one kidney, but my mum has it, or something like that.
Very cool.
He was very impressive as well. So if you're on the unlikely chance you're listening, Matt, well done. Yeah. But even if not, I thought, you know, people at home may find it inspiring.
In which case, we will raise your suggestion for worst film of all time to definitely the worst ever film of all time. So yes. Well done,
which was Garbage Pail Kids the Movie.
I've seen that.
It's his worst ever, really. I have. Why? Why would you
watch it? When I was a kid, and I must be like 10... 9, 10, something like that.
18,
I used,
19.
Now. I used to collect the Garbage Pail Kids. You get these like trading cards.
Yes.
You know the ones and you get it with chewing gum, bubble gum packs.
Oh, yeah.
And I've never liked chewing gum, ever liked chewing gum. So I used to go and buy these.
Who doesn't like chewing
and
gum?
And I just bin the chewing gum and just keep the trading cards.
Right.
And you get them in the local newsagents for about 20p or something like that. And then you go to school and you trade them and you try and get the full set. And they're all these horrible, grotesque Garbage Pail Kid, like, I don't even what they, I couldn't even name you a single character now, but they were all these kind of like Bubblegum Boy, or they'd be Oscar the Grouchy kind of, but you know, they're kind of these kids who lived in bins and were just diseased, and you know, ones who had an anvil for a hand, and they're just
the
weird,
unsanitary kids.
Very much weird like that. And they thought, well, kids love this, we'll make a film about it. And they did it, and I think from memory, it was actors in suits. It wasn't animated. It was kind of
these
giant, disfigured sort of things, and they walk around, and I couldn't even tell you the plot of it. But I can quite see where it's coming from. Maybe they worked as trading cards if you ate, but it should not
be
celluloid. Really, really bad.
With that, I think most of you are just bad ideas to start with, including Teen Wolf 2, which is probably my most recent... It's not the most recent film on this list, but it's the most recent viewing for me, I think, which I watched... around at Jenny's, actually. Just quote name checking her just to make her realise she's not forgotten yet. Because she's a big fan of Jason Bateman. And I bought Teen Wolf, and it was only available as part of a double pack for £3, Teen Wolf and Teen Wolf 2. And I'd never watched Teen Wolf 2 because I'd heard it was awful.
Yeah.
And then one day, a couple of years ago, I realised that it was Jason Bateman in it, not Michael J. Fox.
Okay.
I knew it was Michael J. Fox, didn't realise it was Jason Bateman. So, this is worth a watch. Jen likes Jason Bateman. I'll take you around one evening, we'll have a watch. And, it's terrible.
Really?
It's just, all respect to Jason Bateman. He does the best he can, but he's very young, Jason Bateman, so he's not at his full sort of sardonic comic power yet.
Yeah.
But he does the best he can with what he, well, again, he tries to paint with the colours he's been given. and it's basically a different film, but they're trying to make it work. Mm. I think he's not meant to be the same character. Or is he? No, I think he's meant to be like Marty McFly, Michael J. Fox's cousin or something, but it's not the same dad who takes him to college as his uncle and then just trying to make it work in a college environment.
They've got the same dad and yet they're cousins? Okay. No. No wonder they're werewolves. The grey hair on their faces. 9 toes on each hand.
The only visual I can remember from it is something like it's a big party at the end, which... I don't know why I remember that visual, but I remember just because that's the end of the film. So thinking, brilliant, it's over.
Yay.
I can relax.
Go back to my life.
Yeah, and it's not funny. It's not engaging. There's minimal charisma. There's no... it's just dire. And it's a terrible cash-in on the sequel, on the first one.
Yeah.
And the first one is loved by people, but it's not really a classic quite. It's very enjoyable, but it's not quite at the brilliant level. So to make a mediocre sequel... Well, not mediocre. It's just bad.
Shame. Shame on them.
It's not, It's just a terrible... It's just disappointing as well.
They should leave... If something works, leave it alone.
Mm.
Which ties in perfectly to Psycho, the 1998 Jean de Bon. Spectacular car crash of a film.
Pitched as a shot-for-shot remake, which then isn't.
Yeah, and don't make a shot-for-shot remake. Just watch the original.
What's the point? Yeah.
And I know they sort of say, but we're bringing it to a new generation of people who may have missed it first time around. And that kind of works for films that didn't really, hit the first time around and hit the mark and aren't in the national consciousness.
Since.
No one's forgotten Psycho, really.
No, not really.
If you want to see Psycho, you can see Psycho.
Yeah.
You don't need to watch Vince Vaughn in a dress. You don't need to do that.
That's the main mental image of me, isn't it? Is Vince Vaughn. And it's no better than
Anthony Perkins.
Yes. Yeah. It's no better than him in a dress, but at least that's black and white. You don't get the full horror of it.
You're so not money. Who's the big winner? You're not the big winner.
You're not the big winner. Yeah. You're taking the paycheck.
Exactly. But, not good. Not good.
No.
Speaking of Shunderbot, I've actually just been watching last night, never seen it before, Speed 2 Cruise Control.
Oh, yeah. See, now that, it's not good. It's not.
I'm not going to put it on the list, though, because it's not. I'm just name-checking it, because Shunderbot, where's he now?
Exactly. It does fit in the category of bad films.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's. I think Willem Dafoe camping it up a bit too much. And it's also making a sequel without the main star, which is a bit odd.
Yeah, doesn't really work. Well, apparently because Keanu Reeves wanted to go and make a tour with Dogstar.
Oh, right.
So it wasn't even because he wasn't available to make another film. He just said, I'm going to go and make some music.
Fair enough. And why not? And then go and make the Matrix films and make a ton of money.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, then... We now have a guest speaker.
Guest appearance. Exactly. Guest appearance from my wife, Mrs. Lucy Carenza, to give her stage name.
Yeah. Just to reference, because we're discussing this, and Zoe mentioned the tree film, and I immediately knew what she was talking about after you and Paul saw this.
Do tell us, Madea, what is for you the worst film of all time?
I can't actually remember the title.
The Fountain.
The Fountain. It was that bad. And it was so bad, it was all about a tree, and that's all I can remember.
It's about a tree.
And it was really, it was a fantasy film. And all I can say is if I compare it to sort of the difference between really bad modern art and a really good painting. The really good painting would be a really good film, and the really bad modern art would be this film. Mm. And it was so bad that it was laughable. And I actually remember wanting to stay only for the fact that we were finding it so hilarious.
I kept saying, we can leave. I kept saying, because it was my fault.
You saw this in the cinema?
Yeah, well, I saw the poster, and I thought it looks quite interesting from a poster. And I think it was before we were going to see Ben Folds in concert, weren't we, in Wolverhampton. So we had like 3 hours to kill. We thought, I'll go see The Fountain. And it was so bad, wasn't it? So bad.
The only reason I actually stayed was because I was halfway through my popcorn at the time.
I
thought, I'm quite enjoying this. And we paid good money. And so I thought I might as well be paid good money to be amused. But I didn't find the film at all. Well, I found it entertaining, but I didn't understand any of it. And it was very strange.
See, this is a weirdo, because it's Darren Aronofsky, isn't it?
Yeah,
with it's Hugh Jackman and
Rachel Weisz. Yeah.
And I'm intrigued to see this. And I recorded it off TV a couple of years ago.
Well, they're all good people.
I still haven't watched it.
You might like it, John.
Well, see, I want to think I will like it, but I think that's only because the two of you hated it so much. I kind of want to like it.
Oh, it's bloody awful.
But chances
really
are,
just
I'll
bad.
Actually watch it and think, no, it's not working for me. But look, because it sounds intriguing, but I'll either like it because it's weird and different, or I'll hate it because it's pretentious.
Well, it's definitely pretentious. Yeah,
doesn't it cover like a thousand year time?
It's meant
span
to be a love story about these two people who, at some points, are in space in a bubble next to a tree or something, and then sometimes they're in history.
They're in
different points of history.
Right. Yes, it's like one of those dreams that makes sense, and then suddenly all the people change setting, and it doesn't make any sense anymore.
Right.
Yeah, and you can't work out if they're the same actors playing different characters, or they're the same characters who are just timeless and one minute are in a tree.
It goes back in time and changes setting. And it's just very strange.
Even just the idea, even just talking about it, seems to be physically tiring you both.
No, it's really bad. It's really bad.
It did amuse me at the time.
I think I also don't want to think that Darren Aronofsky could be that awful, but clearly it's not sounding.
He's made better, The Wrestler he's made since, which is very good, but that was awful. That was just really bad. Really bad.
Well, fair enough. Yes. I will watch it in due course
and give my
own opinion, possibly joining you in the hatred.
I think he will. Yeah. Would you like, while you're here, would you like to review as well, very quickly? Because we were talking about in a previous podcast, I meant to mention it then and didn't. The film,
that one we started watching the other day.
No, the film Buried, which you haven't seen, obviously.
Oh, right, yes.
But I wondered if you could review a small part of it, which is that because there's a bit of trivia in it. There's a bit where he's trying to call 911, and he gets put through to 911 in Youngstown, Ohio.
Oh, yes.
And just, which I think they just picked a random town, because Youngstown, Ohio is a tiny place, middle of nowhere. They're just saying, we're just based there, just kind of saying we're not in Iraq, which is where he is. So I wondered if you could review Youngstown, Ohio for us. Because we went there last year, just by pure chance, because our surname is Young. So we thought, let's go to Youngstown.
We went to two, actually.
We did the first. Youngstown, Pennsylvania was quite nice.
That was a nice
place. Well, no, New York, wasn't it?
That had a water tower or something. Very nice. That's all I can remember about it. This other place was so scary that I actually asked Paul to carry on driving and lock all the doors.
We drove 4 hours to Pittsburgh instead of
stopping. And I was actually quite scared of someone stopping the car and shooting me.
It was. Apparently, it's the mafia capital of the sort of
Eastern America. We couldn't actually, a bit like the film, from what I hear about it, couldn't get out of Youngstown.
We were a perpetual one-way system.
A bit like Buried. You couldn't get out.
Completely stuck. And we kept going, you know, on this grid system. And it was like one of those nightmares where you just keep seeing the same streets again and again, and you're going north all the time, but you're
running
out
of petrol with the mafia.
Yeah, it's horrible.
We didn't want to stop for directions because it looked rough. We asked at one hotel, and we came with our coupon book.
Oh, yeah.
She just came out saying, "We don't take no vouchers." We go, "Okay, bye." That's all right. We don't want to stay here anyway.
No offence to anyone who lives there. I'm sure it's a lovely place.
Well, the 911 system isn't great either.
As soon as they said, you know, in the film, this is 911 Youngstown, Ohio, I thought they've got enough to worry about. The 911 system in Youngstown, Ohio must be the busiest in the entire nation. Yeah, pretty bad. Oh, thank you for that. I just
thought my review.
Thank you very much indeed. Thank you, Mrs. Lucy Carenza.
Thank you.
Very good.
Can I just say hi to Ali as well?
Oh, hello, Ali. Yes, Ali. Yes, indeed. Ali listens, doesn't you?
See you soon.
Bye.
Good. No, that's not the end of the podcast. But that's normally how it starts the podcast, but yeah, it's not.
That was the end of my wife's contribution to the podcast.
Hey.
Should we do...
I just want to quickly, because I'll only reference it quickly, but in terms of weird, scary American towns, Max Payne, which we saw while travelling America.
In a scary American town, actually, wasn't
it? Yeah, it was. It was a scary... I can't remember where it was now.
Was it Crescent City?
Maybe.
Very North California, wasn't it?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah,
and we just stopped off in, as we were on this road trip, a random town, had something to do, thought, go to the cinema. Yeah. And while we walked up the road to a restaurant past a scary-looking group of youths who, in our slightly Surrey English way, thought, no, they're going to attack us. And as we walked past, they did say something like, "Evening ladies."
Evening ladies, that's right.
Which was, but I thought, right, that's not good. Went to a restaurant, which
we could reply, but then they'll know we're English. At that point, they didn't know we're English.
Yeah, that's very good.
So if we go, "Excuse me, young ruffians, we're not ladies, we're Englishmen."
Yeah, that wouldn't have ended well for us. So went to a restaurant, which is a very scary restaurant, and just with weird people. And then walked, I think, either to the cinema or walked back past these guys who were then being chatted to by the police. So just sort of walked past without saying anything, but feeling quite smug. And then went to see Max Payne, which was dreadful.
Ukiah, California. That's where it was.
Quick reference.
Yep.
And this was a toss-up as well between Max Payne or W.
Oh, yes, that's right.
And I don't know why we picked Max Payne.
Because you and Russ were there, and
yeah,
I wanted to see W.
I think that's why. And for whatever reason, we thought it might be good. Clearly, we can't have looked up reviews either, because then I would have known it was
pretty
dreadful.
Bad.
But being a big fan of the game, I thought, and it was just, it was terrible, and just convoluted and confusing and weird. But anyway, that was...
Speaking of Russ, who we saw it with, he's emailed in with his worst film of all time.
Oh, yes. Oh, this is a controversial one.
Divide people.
This may be the only Oscar-winning entry on this list.
La Vita è Bella.
Life is Beautiful.
Life is Beautiful. Only time I've wanted to walk out of a cinema. Portrayal of concentration camps repulsed me utterly.
Yeah, now, I can see it, because I saw this with him. And I remember him being very offended by this. But... And it's not so much that I feel he's wrong, because if it's how you feel, it's how you feel. But it's, I think the point of the film is that you don't see the true horror of the concentration camps, because it's all about his dad, this boy's dad trying to shield him from the true awfulness, so we don't see it. And it's not saying, hey, concentration camps were a happy, funny place.
Yes.
But the whole point is he's trying to make his son think they are, so that's the point. And yet... And that's it. I haven't seen it since seeing it in the cinema, but I feel he's wrong. But I don't know. Wrong is the wrong word.
Yeah, it's I thought it was good myself. Mm. I did, but I can again see why.
I can see his point, but it's not entirely how I feel.
Those are some very bad films there.
Yes.
And I think that we need a break. No, we need a bit of a breather.
And we're running slightly longer than we thought, so let's take a break.
Let's just go away for a week or two. We'll collect our thoughts.
Yes.
Come back.
And then we'll come back next time with the second half of our worst films ever.
Or indeed a future time. Maybe we could spread them even out. We'll have the worst ones again in a few weeks.
Well,
we'll have some nice... Well, who knows? Well, you'll know next time when you listen. Yes. To Movie Banter!
Yes.
Big closing credit.
Oh yes, but this is the end of Worst Films Ever Part 1.
Yes,
we'll see you in due course.
Bye
bye.